Everyone said, amen.
Amen. Over the past couple months, we've seen that every one of us has, whether we accept it or not, has the call of God upon our life, and we have this destiny in Christ. And God has designed this for us, this unique purpose, this unique plan for our life since before the beginning of time, before the earth was even set in motion. God's word tells us that we've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. And it says in Jeremiah 1:5, before you were born, I set you apart. God already knew us, and he set us apart for his very special purpose. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When God created us, he did it with a plan in mind, with a purpose in mind. He doesn't just do things haphazardly. And if we make the decision to accept God's call and walk in his ways, then we're going to have an amazing life, a truly amazing life. We're going to see things happen like what we were just talking about. His plans for us are greater than anything that we could ever imagine or plan for. And according to Jeremiah 29:11, God has these plans to give us a hope and a future where we prosper as we follow his will. And that's what we want to see. Everybody here wants to have hope for their future. And we all want to prosper. We want to do well. We want to see great things happen in our life. And that is the vision that God has for our life. A future filled with hope, a future filled with purpose, great things in store for us. And God wants to take that vision, whatever vision we have now, and he wants to expand it. He wants us to have a vision of us accomplishing great things in life. Things so great that we're actually literally changing the world around us. Every day, God will set opportunities before us, both big and small. Opportunities to bring him honor and glory. And there's no reason to think small. We should expect great things of God because he is a great God. We should attempt great things for God. Many of our greatest musical compositions, many of the greatest works of art, the greatest discoveries, the greatest inventions, even many of the most successful businesses had Christians behind them that made it happen because they allowed God to work through them. Christians should be the leaders in every field, in every area of life. That's the way God wants it to be. That's the way he designed us to be. God wants to increase his anointing in us so that we can be used for greater and greater and greater purposes. Nothing is too big for God, and also there's nothing too small or unimportant for God. He's involved in everything. He knows it all. He's behind it all, and he's got plans for us. Our mission, our calling is to do whatever he calls us to do, whatever that may be, and not worry about it if it seems too big for us, and not forget about it if it seems too small. Remember, we are his workmanship, created to do works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Today I want us to see that if we're going to be able to accomplish all that God is calling us to do, then we need to be strong and courageous. Joshua is one of my all-time favorite people. He was faithful to God, and he was faithful to Moses. His whole life was one of faithful service. That's just the kind of man he was. And it was also a life of great victory. They go hand in hand. He was a man who walked in his destiny, who fulfilled the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. He was a great leader. And why was he a great leader? Because first, he was a great follower. You can never be a great leader without learning how to be a follower first. First, he was a follower of God's chosen leader, Moses. But even more importantly, he was a great follower of God himself. Joshua in Hebrews means the Lord says, and in Greek, Joshua means Jesus. Joshua was a foreshadowing of Jesus who was to come. That's why he was able to bring the people home safely, to bring them into the promised land safely. That was that foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. He was faithful in all that he did throughout his life. According to Deuteronomy 34:9, we see that he was even filled with the Spirit of wisdom, which is another name we find in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit. I want to read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. See, God knew he could trust Joshua because he'd been faithful all the way. And so what does he say to him now after he tells him that? Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Three times in this little section of Scripture, the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. When the Lord first commissioned Joshua to succeed Moses in Deuteronomy 31:23, it was very similar there too. When he first put him in, and in Deuteronomy 31:23, it says, the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. So at least four times we know that Joshua was told by the Lord to be strong and courageous. And God knows that even though he has given us revelation, he's given us understanding, even though he's provided all that we need to accomplish his will, it's still up to us to move forward. It's still our job to take the steps, to go forward. And he knows that we have to be strong and courageous, or we will never accomplish what he called us to do. He knows there is no way that we can possess the vision that he has for us. There's no way we can enter the promised land without dealing with the Canaanites like Joshua had to do. And those Canaanites represent our problems. That's why we need to be strong and courageous, so that we can overcome our Canaanites, our problems. God wants us to go boldly where we have never gone before. Verse 7, that we already read, says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the Word of God. Obeying the Word of God is not such an easy thing to do. It takes strength. It takes courage. God is talking to a man now, to Joshua, who has served him and Moses faithfully all of his life. He's proven himself over and over and over again. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and still he is telling him, because this is how important it is, he's telling him to be strong and courageous. God knows that he is calling us forward, and we'll be walking on new ground. We'll be encountering new problems. We'll be dealing with new adversaries. We'll be dealing with new struggles, new insecurities, new things are going to pop up. Whenever we start to go forward, when we're stepping on ground that we've never gone on before, when we're stepping into new situations, we're going to face new things. And those new things are going to scare us. They're going to discourage us. They're going to try to. And that's why God is saying, don't let that fear come in. Don't let that discouragement come in. Be strong and courageous. So many Christians spend their lives walking in circles, just like the Israelites did in the desert. Always going over the same ground, really never going anywhere new, never accomplishing new. We get into a comfort zone, and that becomes where we live. That becomes where we do what we do, and we don't want to step out of that because we got this figured out now. It's easy. Well, I'm telling you, God doesn't want us to be stuck in this little circle where it's easy. He wants us to step out of that comfort zone. Sometimes the only footsteps that Christians follow are their own, and that's not good. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to go deeper. He wants to challenge us to know Him better, to follow Him more, to have a deeper prayer life, a greater witness, a greater sense of action and urgency to get out there and touch the world for Christ. He wants us to make ourselves available to be used by Him and to be led by the Holy Spirit. To make ourselves vulnerable sometimes. Fred, did you make yourself vulnerable yesterday? Yes, he did. I was proud of Fred. He did a good job. You know, he was up there, he spoke with the men's group, and he gave his personal testimony. He shared a little bit about his life that was very personal. And you could see it touched him. And so he made himself vulnerable. God's calling us to make ourselves vulnerable sometimes. You know, to make ourselves accountable to somebody. To grow. To conquer. To go, you know, to conquer new territories. To conquer past failures. And to turn those into successes. We can make a difference in this world. And you can make a difference in your world. And you can change your world and the world around you. And the ripple effect, those little ripples, just like in a pond when you throw in that pebble, that effect of what you do, of the changes that you make that sometimes seem so small, the ripple effect goes out farther and touches more things and more people than you ever thought it could. But to do that, it takes courage. It takes courage. Verse 9 says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Just like that girl Skyly was talking about. She was afraid to even start. She was afraid to step out. She was afraid to do anything. She was going to sit there all day long until a believer stepped out and decided to change her world around her and prayed for her. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Fear and discouragement are probably two of the greatest tools that Satan uses on Christians. It's easy to see, you know, when we look at pride and anger and jealousy and envy and strife and murder and all these kind of things, it's easy to see that those are sin because they look evil. They sound evil. They everybody knows they're no good. But fear and discouragement, outwardly, they don't look evil. They just look like we're shy or we're just timid. Or we're just, you know, down a little bit today. And yet that fear and discouragement have destroyed more Christians, stopped more Christian growth, nullified more Christian advancement for Christ
than all the rest of the sins combined, most likely. How many Christians have abandoned the call of God on their lives because of fear? Fear of failure. It stops us from even attempting something for God. When we allow fear to rule over us, what we're saying is that fear is more powerful than God. Think about that. If we let fear get the upper hand, we're saying that that fear is more powerful than God. We need to remember that if God calls us to a task, if He calls us to do something, He's going to give us everything we need to accomplish that something, or He never, ever would have called us. Ever been afraid to try out for a job? Or maybe try out for a part in a play or a ministry? Afraid to go meet somebody? Afraid to step out and pray for someone? Maybe afraid to go witness to someone? This can stop us from attaining what God has for us. It not only hurts us, where we don't grow, we don't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, but it hurts the others that would have been blessed or would have benefited from us stepping out. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Fear of man is what caused Pilate to condemn Jesus to the cross. He didn't want to send him to death. He was actually worried about doing that. His wife had had a dream, and he was afraid to condemn Jesus, but he was even more afraid of the immediate threat of the people around him, so he gave in and sent him to his death. Fear of man will cause us to compromise the Word of God, to compromise the calling of God, to not speak up when we should, and to go along with sin when we shouldn't. We can have fear of being embarrassed, fear of rejection, fear of loneliness, fear of poverty, fear of being in the dark, fear of whatever. We can have 10 million different fears. Whatever's out there is just one more thing we can be afraid of. Every fear we have puts a fence around a certain area of our life. Well, I'm afraid to go over there, so now I've got to block this area off. I can't go over there. I'm afraid to do that, so I'm going to block this area off, so now I can't go there. I'm afraid to feel like this, so I'll block this area. Pretty soon, we're all stuck in because we're afraid. Every fear that we have, it seems like what it does is when we give in to that one fear, it just starts to be amplified, and then it's easier to be afraid of this and then that, and then before you know it, we're afraid to go out of the house. Fear will prevent us from reaching the destiny that God has planned for our life. God also says to Joshua not to be discouraged. Being discouraged sometimes can make you give up. Sometimes it makes it so that you won't even start. You won't even be able to get yourself up out of bed. You won't be able to take that first step. You won't be able to go into work that day. You won't be able to go and do this thing or say that thing. Discourage is the opposite of courage. It's the taking away of courage, like disobey. You know, we don't obey, we disobey. And now we discourage means we take out the courage. The courage is taken out of us. And Satan would like nothing better than to discourage you. He wants to diss you in every way he can. He wants to take away our courage. He wants us to feel helpless. He wants us to feel useless. He wants us to feel frustrated. He wants us to feel unable to accomplish anything. He wants us to feel disappointed. He wants us to feel depressed. He wants to discourage us. all the time. What better way to get you to stop going forward and to put that big mountain of discouragement right in front of you? He wants us to give up on God's promises. To give up on God, or just plain give up. One time, Martin Luther was very depressed. And he wasn't very sure that God was still working in his life. And his wife, Catherine, was trying to figure out some way to get him going again. So she figured out a way to revive him and to get him back on track. And there was a poem written about it by a man named Herzberger, F.W. Herzberger. And it tells the story. And this is the little story about Martin Luther. One day when skies loomed the blackest, this greatest and bravest of men lost heart in an oversad spirit and refused to take courage again. Neither eating nor drinking nor speaking to anxious wife, children, or friends till Catherine dons widow's garments and deepest of mourning pretends. Surprised, Luther asked why she sorrowed. "Dear doctor," his Katie replied, "I have cause for the saddest of weeping, for God in his heaven has died." Her gentle rebuke did not fail him. He laughingly kissed his wise spouse, took courage and banished his sorrow, and joy again reigned in the house. Sometimes we act like God's dead, don't we? There's that song, "God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion." You ever hear that one out there? He's not dead. He's not gone. Joshua saw firsthand how discouragement works. In Deuteronomy 1:28, the Israelites are quoted as saying, "Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear." They were talking about the 10 other spies besides Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb wanted to go in and take the promised land. They knew that God could bring them through. They said, "Our God will give us the land. Our God can make it happen." They kept trying and trying, and all they kept getting was in deeper and deeper trouble. Because these other 10 spies were trying to shout them down and beat them down, and all they talked about was the giants in the land, how we look like grasshoppers, the armies, the walls, the fortified cities. And they got everybody scared. All the Israelites were scared, and they, "Where can we grow? Our brothers have made our hearts melt with fear." They didn't trust in God. They were discouraged by the 10 spies who didn't trust in God. They even wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for trying to talk them into going, for trying to get them to do nothing more but trust in God. Well, all those who gave in to discouragement and fear ended up dying in the desert. They never made it into the promised land. And sometimes we get discouraged because things don't turn out the way we expected them to. They don't turn out the way we wanted them to. So we need to take our eyes off of that thing that didn't work and put our eyes back on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Fear and discouragement are caused by unbelief. This unbelief can cause our hearts to go astray, cause our hearts to be hardened and turn us away from God. Hebrews 3, 7 through 13 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." That's not where I want to be. I don't want to never enter the rest of God. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, encouragement is so important. To be encouraged. To have courage. We don't want to be discouraged. We need to be encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. 1 Corinthians 16:11 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. There it is again, the same thing. Be strong and courageous. Now it's in the New Testament. You know, we lock our doors, we lock our windows, we lock our cars, we put our money away in a safe place. We try to keep the things that we have safe, but we need to guard our heart and our mind from the things that come in to discourage us and put fear in our lives. If we find ourselves in that place where we are discouraged, where we are fearful, and it will happen to all of us at some point. We've all gotten there. We've all been there, and we'll probably be there again. But what we need to do then is we need to recognize where we are. We need to recognize that it's a weakness, that it's wrong. It's not the way we're supposed to be. And in that weakness, we admit it, and we go to God, just like Paul did. And in our weakness, we can find his strength. If we bring that weakness to God, he is more than able and he more than wants to fill us with his strength. If you've been fearful, discouraged about something, bring it to God or bring it to other Christians. Expose that thing that you're afraid of, that you're worried about. Bring it out into the light of Christ and let the power of God destroy that thing. It's like bleach on mold. Let it just get rid of it. Because our God is stronger. Isn't he stronger than fear? Is he stronger than discouragement? Is he stronger than the devil? Is he stronger than unbelief? He can do all those things. Sure, maybe we can't deal with it. That's what God says. I understand that. When you can't deal with it, bring it to me, is what he says. Sometimes when we think we can deal with it, our own strengths often become our greatest enemy, our greatest hindrance, because those strengths discourage us or prevent us from relying on God. We trust in ourselves instead of God. Our weaknesses can end up becoming our greatest strength, on the other hand, because there we learn to depend on God. We learn to trust in him, rely on him in the areas that we're weak. Every time, if we know we're weak in a certain area and we have to use that or deal with that area, every time we do, God, I need your help. You know I can't do this. Lord, please be with me. Lord, help us to win this game. Help me to win that competition. Help me to climb up to the top of that hill. Whatever it might be. God wants us to be strong and courageous. He's telling us to be strong and courageous. So that tells me that God's going to help us be strong and courageous. Do we want to become like Joshua, who defeats one foe after another, who takes the land, who overcomes every enemy, every problem? I want to be like Joshua, don't you? Or do we want to be like the failure? Do we want to be the one who always gives up? Do we want to be the one who runs and hides and never accomplishes anything and lives a life of quiet desperation, never amounting to anything? Sound exciting? Anybody want to live that life? I don't think any of us do. We want to be strong. We want to be courageous. We want to be victorious. We want to be out in front, man. We want to get out there and do what God wants us to do. I think every one of us, I believe God has put that desire in every one of our hearts. It's our circumstances, our growing up, our family history, our friends, our people around us, the newspapers, the TV, the government, all these things all around us always tries to make us like we can't. There's that victim mentality that's across the land. We're all victims. We can't do anything for ourselves. We need the government to get us out of trouble. The government's not going to make us strong and courageous. The government's not going to get us into heaven. John 14:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world." Jesus already knew we were going to go through all this stuff. But he said, don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Because I'm here and I have overcome the world and I'm walking with you. Like that song we sang today. Jesus has already had the victory. The victory is his and he wants to make the victory ours. We just have to take it up. 1 Corinthians 15:7 says, "Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has made it possible for each one of us to strongly and courageously accomplish whatever mission he sends us out on. God would do no less." Think about that. Would God send you out on a mission that was doomed, destined to failure on purpose? No. No way. Exactly the opposite. He sends us on a mission. He has a plan for our life, a destiny, a calling on our life, designed to be successful. When he designed us, when he created us, he designed and created us to be successful, to accomplish great things, to change our world. To be strong and courageous. He goes out ahead of us and prepares the way. It's not enough that he gives us everything we need. The Word of God tells us that he goes out ahead of us and prepares the way. He fights our battles for us sometimes. He gets out there, out in front. He makes a way where there is no way. With man, this might be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know, here's how we need to think. We're not going to go out and face a giant named Goliath. Okay, that's the old way of thinking. I got a new way for you to think now. I want you to think Goliath has to come and face the giant in us. That's the way we should look at life. We're not out struggling and fighting giants. No, those giants got to deal with us. You want to deal with me? You talk to my father. That kind of thing, you know? How big is your God? Is your God this big? That's not the God I know. The God I know is, he's big. He's so big, I've never found the end of him yet. And I never will. He's too big. He's too big for me. I can't comprehend how big he is. I can see the problems. I can see how big they are. I can see the disastrous situations that we end up facing all the time. I can see how big they are. But I can't see God. He just overwhelms them. Is he big enough to do all things through you? Is he? Or is he a little weak when it comes to working inside of you? Is it God? Is he weak? He can do stuff for them, but not for you. He's powerful for them, but he hasn't figured out how to work in me yet. Does that make sense? Ephesians 1:19 tells us about the incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably. There's no comparison to that power that is for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength in us. It's in us. So we have to ask ourselves, when I think of life, when I think of what I'm going to face, what's going to happen, will I only think of the giants I have to deal with? Or will I recognize the giant in me and just deal with life as it comes? Who's the giant in us? The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords, the God of this universe, the Creator of heaven and earth. And there's no one like Him. And He's there for us. He's on our side. He's going to go out there ahead of us, fight the battles for us. He's going to prepare a way. He's going to set up a banquet table in the presence of our enemies, He said. I think He's trying to get a picture across to us that we really don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be discouraged. We need to be strong and courageous. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I love that these different stories came out today. The one Skyly shared there, just about overcoming fear. The baseball team, I mean, those guys could have folded. They could have said, "Nah, we don't have our regular players. We're just gonna let us just mercy us. That's it. We ain't gonna deal with it." But instead, they went out with courage, and they won. The girl went up to the top of the mountain. She won. Steve won a $30,000 scholarship. I keep hearing about people all the time that win. And it seems like all the ones I hear about that, the most of the time I hear about it, it's right here. People in church, people I know. Sure, we're going to face tough things, every one of us. But as Jesus said, take heart. He has overcome, and so will we. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You that You have done a tremendous thing for us, Lord God. You have sent down Your Son, Jesus, to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin, to save us from death. And You've put something in us, Lord God. You've given us Your Holy Spirit. You've put power inside of us, the same power that was there at the creation of the universe. Lord, I pray that each one of us would recognize the giant that lives in us. And that we would know that the giant who is in us is stronger than that supposed giant who is in the world, the devil. He who is in me is stronger than he who is in the world. He who is in us is stronger than all that we face in the world. And Lord, we thank You that You're with us, that You're in us, that You're there for us. We thank You that You go out ahead of us. We thank You for encouraging us, for strengthening us. We thank You for Your Word, which shows us this, which tells us, which reveals to us that You are there for us. We thank You that nothing is impossible with You. We thank You, Lord God, for every good thing. I thank You for this day, Lord God. I thank You for each one who is here, that is hearing this message. Thank You for these that are up here to pray right now, Lord. And I pray that Your anointing would be upon them to encourage others as they come up for prayer, to strengthen those who come up for prayer, to empower those who come up for prayer, Lord God. Let Your anointing flow through them. Use them for Your purposes. Use us for Your purposes. Use all of us for Your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Well, we got coffee and donuts upstairs. feel free to come on up and have a little bit of fellowship. And thanks for coming out today. God bless you.